Lord, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that we have to be a part of a community together that can worship you freely. Lord, we praise you for the opportunity to gather together and grow together in your presence. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would even help direct my words this morning, Lord, that they would be glorifying to you and edifying to us. Lord, we just give all of this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not sure who was here last week, but Kyle was here last week, and Kyle actually preached on faith. He talked about focusing faith, and it was like latching on. He used two examples, and he was latching on kind of faith. Now, I'm not sure. I think I might have heard Kyle use this phrase before, but the pastor from my home church actually uses this phrase all the time. He talks about pit bull faith. Because, you know, a pit bull is that breed of dog that once their jaw locks on something, it can't be removed. And so they just latch on. And so that's the phrase that a pastor of my home church always says, you know, when talking about the things like Kyle was talking about last week, is that pit bull faith, that when we latch on to it, we just don't let go. We hold fast and we say, God, I will trust you. God, I will trust you. So how do we do that sometimes? Because sometimes we don't feel that faith rising up in us. And so that's what I want to look at today and say, okay, what is it that can sustain us and help us hold on and persevere with that pit bull faith? And the phrase you often hear going around in church circles for this is, well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because if I need strength to latch on and hold on in faith, where do I get that? Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't always feel so joyous when I'm in that time that I need to latch on and hold on. I don't know about you, but in those times where you really have to press on and hold tight in faith, those are usually the times that we feel the weakest, and we're like the woman with the issue of blood who was even literally physically weak. We're it's like the life is sucked out of us. So if the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I don't feel that joyous, and I feel weak, how can I hold on to faith? So I thought, let's go back and let's look at this phrase, and let's see what God is really telling us about the joy of the Lord, shall we? Let's open up our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. So now, we as a church have looked at Nehemiah quite a lot, as particularly the building of the wall in the beginning, right? But we're coming into chapter 8, and we're a little bit past that. So Nehemiah's gotten the permission. They're rebuilding the wall. They're working together. They're amazed. People are amazed because they're not being distracted by the enemy. They're all standing together. But now we're actually past that point. The wall has been built. And so what are they going to do? Well, you have Ezra describe, he's going to come in and bring the word. Because now they've done the work. They want to worship the Lord. And so this is where we are, where it's here, the work has been done. We're going to bring in the word. So starting with verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And he opened it, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra bless the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathiah, Hodiah, Meshaiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. So what's happening here is they say, okay, we've done the work. Let's bring in the word. And he does, and he brings it before all the people. All the people, the men and the women and anyone who could understand. And on top of that, they even go so far as to not only read it, but to actually have the Levites help the people then understand. So even those who couldn't understand are now understanding. But because of this, they're weeping. They're weeping. They're hearing the word of the Lord. There could be many reasons as to why they were weeping. But this, the word of the Lord, is being presented to them. And here they are on their hands and knees, face down, weeping before the Lord, probably in both lament and praise. And yet, Nehemiah comes in and Ezra comes in and the Levites come in and they say, Ah, don't weep. Do not grieve. This day is holy. This day that the word is being presented to you is holy. Do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we always quote, for the joy of the Lord, just as the joy of the Lord is your strength, out of the context of the story. But when you read it in the context of the story, it just sounds funny. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You would think, oh, maybe they say, don't grieve because now our answer is here. Or something like that. But just, for you will be strong in gladness. Because isn't that how we often interpret the joy of the Lord being our strength? We will be strong when we are glad about the Lord and who he is. So let's actually go back and see what is really being said here. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it might make more sense. There's only this word that's been translated joy is only appearing twice in the whole of the Bible. And both times it's direct connection to the Lord. The word is shedva or chedva, I'm sure. And it's a noun coming from a verb, chada. And it's only used twice. So all the times we see the word joy in the Bible, it's actually different words that do. They mean gladness. They mean the act of being glad. They have all of this going on. And this verb does actually have that same kind of connotation in the sense of gladness. But it's got a little bit of a deeper meaning that actually makes it make sense in the context of Nehemiah. Because one, it's actually specifically talking about the joy of the Lord. Which in English we can also put the Lord apostrophe S, joy, is the other way we translate of the. So the joy of the Lord is actually the Lord's joy. See, I think we get so bogged down because we're here trying to have this pit bull faith. And we feel weak and we're supposed to, if I'm just happy, it'll all be easier. But actually, the joy of the Lord that is my strength is actually the Lord's joy. It's not even my joy. It's my strength, but it's His joy. And the interesting thing about Hebrew is the old letters, they actually are like kind of like how in the East with Korean and Japanese and Chinese, they have characters instead of letters, and the characters are actually pictures that mean something. So for example, in Japanese, the character that means to forget is made up of two pictures, one meaning death and one meaning heart. So you know what they feel about forgetting there, if it's the death of the heart. But you get that sense in the very writing of that word. Well, it's the same sometimes with the Hebrew. The scribes would have seen this as they were writing, copying and reading the words that were in the Torah. They would have seen these kind of patterns in a way. And this verb, hadah, that this word joy that we translate as, that's only used twice in the Bible, and this is one occasion, and on the other occasion is in First Chronicles when it's talking about the joy that is directly established, meaning it is directly connected to His place, the joy and the gladness that is in His place. This is His joy. So it's implying this connection. But it's made up of these three characters that actually form a fence, a door, and a behold. Look at this. And so this verb of that is being translated as joy is a picture that says, behold, a door in the fence. So then what is the Lord's joy? We know that when Jesus went to the cross, He said it was for the joy set before Him that He could endure the cross. And what is the joy that was set before the Lord that He could endure the cross? It was us. It was a connection with us. He came down onto the cross so that we could be reconciled with Him. So that reconciliation of us being with Him, this is the joy He's looking forward to. He's looking forward to that perfect reconciliation of man and God. And that's sustained Him to be able to endure the weight of the cross. And we see the same picture here with this verb, chada, where behold, a door in the fence. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord's joy, this thing that is my strength, is this way of connection to God. This is what gives me strength, this connection I can have with God. And here, even in the Old Testament, we see this picture of, oh, the thing that gives me strength is the open door that gives me connection with God. And for the Jews at this time, it was the reading of the word and the bringing back the law and that obedience to God that was allowing them that connection again. And that's why it makes sense in this context to say, instead of grieving, rejoice, go celebrate, feast, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because look, there's this connection that's happening. The Lord's joy, not something you could conjure up. We can't conjure up our own joy. We've tried and we've failed. But God's joy, this bridge that can bring us in, this sense that we belong to Him, this idea of redemption and reconciliation with Him, this is our strength. And this is what they were encountering with the bringing in of the word. And the power of it made them weep, and probably the conviction in it made them weep. But God was speaking through Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites saying, no, this is what brings the connection. And this is why we can rejoice. So let's flip forward to John 10. See if you recognize anything here. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again." Jesus is the door. Behold, the door in the fence. Who is it? It's Jesus. It's that bridge of reconciliation. Everything he's saying here in this parable of the good shepherd is about reconciliation, but it's also showing his protection. He's saying, "I'm the way." But then in addition, because I'm a shepherd, I am your protection. I am your safety. I'm not only your way in, but I'm the one that's got you covered. That should give us strength. I was reminded, and I was saying with some missionaries in these last 2 weeks, they had former missionaries, and we started sharing stories. And it's a powerful thing to start sharing the stories of what the Lord has done, because you find yourself being kind of revitalized. Oh yeah, God does do this. He does do this. And it builds your faith. And I remember I was telling them one story about when I was in Uganda, and I was on the second story of the house that I was staying in at the time, and I heard a commotion out on the street. And I look down and I see there's a few people gathered around, and they're watching because a guy is trying to grab and drag a girl off, basically for forced prostitution. And it's okay because they'll pay her, is what I was told. Something rose up inside of me. And I remember running down the stairs. I didn't even say anything to our security guard who minded the gate or the compound. And he's looking at me like, "What is going on?" Because I come down like a hurricane and like forcing my way through. I remember we had these huge, like iron steel gates, you know, just huge. And I said, "Let me out," is all they said. And they quickly opened the gate. "Oh, what is Madame up to?" You know, they were looking nervous. And I remember just pushing both arms forward so that both gates swung wide, because it was that much force. And I was just going there. And I remember going and I said, "You leave her alone." And the issue, you know, we started this kind of argument, because the guy was saying, "Oh, it's not your business. Oh, it's just the way we are. It's our culture, blah, 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 blah." And I was like, "No, she's my sister." And they're like, "No, she can't be your sister. You're a Muzungu. She is one of us." And I said, "No, she is a woman, so she is my sister. You leave her alone." And so it got into this battle, and he goes, "What is there?" And I said, "Okay, you want to mess with the woman?" And I did literally this. I spread my arms as wide as I could, and I started doing this like Bruce Lee motion with my hands. And I was just like, "Come on, come on, I'll show you. Let's see what happens." Now, I'm the kind of person that if I go into a restaurant and I order pancakes for breakfast, and they bring me out burnt eggs, I can't even say, "Sorry, this isn't what I ordered." At least at this point in time, I'd be like, "Oh, no, yeah, no, sure, it's fine, it's fine, it's grand, like, I'll manage." And I don't even like eggs, certainly not burnt ones. But that's my nature. But there was this Holy Spirit kind of righteousness rising up in me that I barely recognized myself. But I did, arms straight out. I was like, come on, you want to mess with a woman? Mess with me. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but it actually happened. Now, what was interesting about this is the whole time, the security guard from the compound was behind me. He was a very tall Kenyan, and he had a Kenyan war stick, was his weapon of choice for protection. The second I went out the gate, he was behind me. Now, he actually didn't know what I was doing. He kept saying, Madame, are you sure? I don't know what you are doing. I think this is just their way. Maybe we leave them. But the whole time, even as he's saying that, he's standing tall with his stick raised. And he's just to the back of me. So the whole time I'm doing that, I know my back is covered. I know I'm protected. And it was this powerful thing. Now, because it was the Lord at work in me, this, like I said, was not something I could do. But to come back in, and when I came back in, and the end of the story is a long one for another day, but when I came back into the house and he was following me, still staying at my back and watching out as I go in, closing the gate behind me, that was almost when I recognized he'd been there the whole time with his Kenyan war stick raised. He had my back. I was free to be as bold as I needed to be in that situation because I was protected. Now, God was actually protecting me, but there was this physical manifestation of his protection in the form of our security guard with his war stick. And so as I was thinking about this and looking back at John 10, I thought, this is powerful because Jesus is not only the door to our reconciliation, but he's our covering, he's our protection, he's our safety. And that allows us to do the things he's called us to do. And if that's the case, then maybe we shouldn't grieve. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because then the Lord's joy isn't just about the reconciliation. It's not just about our deliverance, but it's also about his provision. It's also about his protection. And because it's the Lord's joy, like I said, it's not something we have to conjure up. It's just something we receive. It's something we walk in confidence. So when I say, when we're going through trials and we have that need to have that pit bull faith and we just feel so weak, like all the blood is drained out of us, we can say the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm protected. I'm covered. I'm cared for, and I am reconciled to a God who has me in his hands. Ah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My grip holds tighter. Recognizing the reconciliation we have with the Father, recognizing his deliverance, recognizing his provision, it builds our faith. It helps us hold on in the tough times, and it helps us overcome. Romans says that perseverance breeds character, and character, hope. So as we hold on and as we continue to recognize the joy of the Lord is my strength, I am strong, not because I am strong. I am strong because of what he's done, because he's reconciled me, because he's covering me, because he's protecting me, because he's providing for me. I can hold on longer. I can persevere. And it does something inside of me that produces hope. Not just for my own situation, but when people around us see us holding on with that pit bull faith, standing in the truth that the joy of the Lord is my strength, it produces in them faith and hope. It's a gift God uses where people watch us walk through these things. And it produces it not only in us, it produces it in them. Faith and hope. Faith even to hope. If we go back and look at that scripture then, Nehemiah 8, what happens after they read the word? They go and they celebrate. And after they celebrate, they actually come back together because in reading the word, they discovered something. They discovered there was a feast they had not been celebrating. In reading the word and understanding it, they discovered there was something they hadn't been participating in. And that was the Feast of Booths, which is also known as Sukkot. This feast is about two things. It's about God's deliverance, because they celebrate the exodus of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And it's also about provision, because it's at the incoming of the harvest. So I don't know if you see it, but I see this beautiful little thing. Here they are, they're reading the word, they're weeping, they're feeling convicted, they're thankful, but they're weeping, and they come and say, "Do not grieve. The joy of the Lord is your strength," or "The Lord's joy is your strength," or "The Lord being able to reconcile you with him is your strength and your provision and your deliverance." And then they go and they find that this very feast they need to be celebrating at this time is the one of provision and deliverance. God knows his timing. He's got these things figured out. I mean, that's pretty special. That's pretty divine. So when we go through the challenges, let us say, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So rather than just beating yourself up for not feeling glad all the time, for not feeling happy enough, say, no, it's actually the Lord's joy of reconciliation with us. It's actually that he gave us Jesus. I'm covered. I'm protected. I'm provided for. Then this is my strength. This is what I can move in. This will help give me the courage to hold on. And that's the challenge for all of us, to hold on with pit bull faith, but recognizing that it's not of our own doing and it's not of our own trying to make something better than it is. It's just simply recognizing that God's really got it. He really, really has got it. And that's our challenge. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In him we can stand. In him we are delivered. In him we are provided for. And therefore, in him we can go forward with the courage to do the things that he's called us to that we might never have been able to because we felt our faith was so weak. But in our weakness, he is strong. Why? Because it's his joy. It's his doing. It's always going to come back to him. The song Rent Collective sings, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And the chorus just simply says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, and in the sadness I'll sing, because the joy of the Lord is my strength." We go through darkness, we go through sadness, but we can still have the joy of the Lord in the midst of it, because it is what he's done to connect us to him. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for today. And Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in all of us and what you're stirring in all of us. Lord, I pray right now that you would just help us to have that pit bull faith. Lord, that we would be able to latch on and never go. Lord, that we would recognize it doesn't have to come from our own strength, but it comes from you and all you've done. Lord, even as we sang this morning, you were crucified, laid behind the stone. But you took it all for us, Lord. So, Lord, we praise you and we worship you, for only you are worthy. Lord, I pray that you would just increase in us an awareness of who you really are to us. Who you really are in our lives, that you are our deliverer, but you are also our provider and our protector. Lord, that we may ever be able to say, in the darkness I'll dance and in the sadness I'll sing, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. We praise you, Lord, and we give you glory. In your name, amen.
Share about it is, even if we say like the joy of the Lord, so often we think it's we have to do it, but if you really think, as Holly was saying, it's the Lord's joy. It reminded me of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I remember years ago I was praying, keep saying like, I don't have love in my life, I don't have joy, I don't have peace, I don't have I reading out all of those words, I'm thinking, I need all of that. I need that. I need it to manifest in my life, and I'm trying to do it. It's like trying to bear fruit. And one day the Holy Spirit say, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's the same thing that what Holly was saying. It's not out of our own strength. When we connect with God, His Holy Spirit in us will bear the fruits. And when we recognize that the Lord is joyful over us, when He look at us, He's just absolutely joyful. And it's a lifestyle of celebration, of worship and praise of what who God is in our lives that give us the freedom to live for Him, that empower us to love, to be joyful, to have peace in our life. And today's message is about joy. And it all come from God. It's come from our connection with God. And this is a lifestyle of worship. It is a lifestyle of praising Him. Thank you for the lovely message. It's empowering. It empowers us to actually remember. Let's worship God together of who He is, and we continue to come and receive from Him the blessing. And the message today is joy. And a lot of the time our situation in our life is not joyful. But when we remember the Lord look at us and He said, I'm joyful over you. I created you. I knitted you together in your mother's wombs. I know you. I know how many hairs on your head. I know you. I made you. I created you. That's the Lord say that over us. I'm looking at you, and the Lord saying, I'm looking at you, and I'm joyful over you. It's like if any of us, we make creative things. Let's say it's art or music or... when we take something that we really like, we're proud of it. Not in a prideful way, but just really happy. Or even baking or a lovely meal. We'll be saying, I made that. Think of little kids when they made something that really happy. And somebody, the parents or the grown-ups say, that's fabulous. That's really great. Did you really make that? And the kid will say, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Totally not in a prideful way. But they take joy in the fact that their parents are so joyful over what they made. And our Lord look at us and joyful of what He created. And that's us. When we reconcile with God, we have that connection with God. We are children of God. He's looking at us and He says, you are my children. You are my beloved. You are my love. I love you. We come with His perspective, receiving from Him. And the Lord said, I love you. I'm so joyful over you. I am with you. I'm for you. And we praise God and we worship God. And we jump up and down like a little kid. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So as we leave today, let's make that as our reflection or meditation this week, just remember how joyful God is over our lives, over us. So often we only focus on what is missing in our lives. So often we focus on what is wrong with us. So often we focus on what are we not doing properly or the mistakes we've made. And we focus on all of those things, what the enemy wants to do in our lives or doing, instead of remembering when we focus on who God is and how God sees us. That's our freedom. Let's make that this week, or even practice it each day for this season. To focus, the Lord is joyful over you, over each one of us. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you.